WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and it's time to kick off a month-long tech series with Peter Rojas, founder of GDGT, Engadget, and Gizmodo. Today's topic, over-device syndrome, something I sometimes suffer from. For example, it's Thursday, and I'm starting to think about my plans for the weekend. Time to pack up the gadgets I'll need. I'll need my phone, of course, and my portable radio.
9692 or WNYC.com.
That's right. It's quick, it's easy, and it will be matched. $60.
Can't forget my digital camera. Or my GPS.
Turn right at the next exit. 12 yards. 18. Grand View. 4 kilometers. Martin Luther King Boulevard.
And the list goes on and on.
Ring! That's right. It's quick. It's easy.
Does it really have to be this way? Peter Rojas is here to answer that question. Hi, Peter. Thanks for doing this series, and welcome to WNYC.
Thanks.
I don't actually have a GPS. I don't have a car, so I don't need one. But how many devices do you carry?
So I usually carry 3 or 4, which is probably more than most people do. But I carry one smartphone, which I use mainly for browsing the web, and then I use another one, which I BlackBerry, which I use for doing email. And then I carry an MP3 player, and then I also carry a little thing called a Fitbit, which I use for tracking my activity and calorie counting and stuff like that.
And listeners, we want your take on this. If you think you are the most over-deviced person listening right now, give us a call. Or if you want to defend your gadget glut, let us know. Or if you think you've found the perfect universal device, call up and brag about it. 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. Or just call up and discuss the burden of being over-gadgeted. It's not necessarily something to brag about. I think it's something that most people probably experience as a burden. Talk about being over-gadgeted, or let us know if you think you are the most over-deviced person listening right now. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Who's the most over-gadgeted person that you know? You don't have to mention them by name, but how many devices do you think that person actually has?
That they carry around? Well,
yeah, portable devices.
I know people who tend to carry around usually 5 or 6. They'll carry around a netbook, and they'll carry around an e-book reader, and they'll carry around an MP3 player, and usually 1 or 2 smartphones.
And you've been following the tech industry for a long time,
yeah.
Obviously. Do you want to give us a little history of the quest for the universal device? I mean, that's got to be the tech holy grail, right?
Yeah, and so people call it convergence, right? The idea that all these devices are going to sort of merge into one super device. And the smartphone has really become that super device that people carry around. If you're going to carry around one device, it's probably going to be your cell phone rather than something else. Most people don't leave the house deciding, well, I'm going to carry my iPod or my iPhone. They're definitely going to carry their iPhone, for example. And so what's happened over the past few years is that smartphones have absorbed the functionality of lots of other devices. Originally, a cell phone basically just made phone calls. Then it started to do email and do your calendar and a PDA function. Then it got a web browser. Then it got an MP3 player. Then it got a digital camera. Now it has GPS and it does all these things.
And that's really where it's going. Like, you know, despite the little funny piece that we did at the beginning with all the sound effects, I mean, the last digital camera I had when it started to go into its death throes, and the same thing with the camcorder that I had when it started to frizz out, I didn't replace them because my cell phone can do video and stills well enough for my family purposes.
Yeah, especially if you're just posting things to the web. But I think you're still going to want a digital camera for when you go on vacation. You're definitely not going to want to have someone using a smartphone to photograph your wedding, for example. So I think that there's still a time and a place and for a dedicated device like a digital camera. It's mainly when you want to have the kind of quality that you're not going to be able to get out of a phone.
On a comments page, somebody writes, I actually once had a dream device. It had everything from a cell phone that worked as good as a landline. Now they work better than landlines, but that's another show. A first-rate camera and video, music player, easy pass, even a translator. It could find my keys and clean the floor, but I lost it.
I'd like to know the name of that one.
That's right. I mean, you know, behind that humor, there's a risk in having everything on one device, because if that device goes down, then, you know, you lose your photographs, you lose your contacts, all that stuff.
Well, actually, now most of those things are being synced to the cloud, to a server somewhere. So, for example, I don't store any photos on my phone. I actually just pull them off the web when I want to look at them. And same thing with all my contacts. I think one of the things that does get risky is that now people are starting to use, not really here, but mainly in Japan and sometimes in Europe, using their phones as sort of digital wallets, using them to pay for things. And so if you lose that, all of a sudden you don't have a way to pay for things. Some people even use their cell phone as their keys to get into their home. So there are risks in sort of putting all your eggs in one digital basket like that.
Amin in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Amin.
Hi, Brian. Love the show. You know, I just wanted to comment. I mean, I personally use three devices regularly. I mean, my BlackBerry and my laptop, which are pretty much, I guess, attached to the hip nowadays. You know, and my BlackBerry, it does everything from my Facebook to Gmail and Yahoo Mail and my corporate mail. And I'm kind of one of those people that are worse for what. I guess you could say, I mean, I love the technology, but there's that point in the day where usually I want to get to feel to turn that off, my laptop off, and then kind of decompress a little bit. But with these technology devices, I mean, you're kind of stuck to them as yeah. is. And also I use a GPS and, you know, because my company has me drive all over. So I mean...
So you're over-gadgeted with three devices, basically.
Well, three devices, and then I have another personal cell phone for my home phone, and then I have, you know, a camera which
common,
I need
actually.
To document, and,
right.
and they, so I guess it's about five devices.
Yeah, I guess so. Amin is experiencing the overload all the way to business phone given by his employer and a personal cell phone.
Well, and I think that's the sort of the tension, right, between having one device that says everything or having a series of specialized devices, which, I mean, it's not uncommon for people to have one cell phone for personal use and one cell phone for business use, not the least of which is sometimes their company will only pay for a business use of their phone, and so they need to have a separate line. And sometimes people like to have that distinction between their personal life and their business life. They want to have a phone that they can turn off when they get home at the end of the day.
Peter Rojas from GDGT. Think of gadget without the vowels.com. And Luke in Old Westbury, you're on WNYC. How over-deviced are you?
Oh, very over-deviced. Just like the previous caller, it's personal versus work for me, because I also have my work phone, which has the Sprint 3G on it, and I usually use that for browsing. And I have my own BlackBerry. But I just wanted to say that... you know, my boss has the iPhone, and that kind of seems to wrap everything up. He has the GPS on it. His web browsing is pretty good. And I was like, wow, maybe I should move to that. But I'm definitely over-gadgeted. I also carry my laptop. I have my navigation system because I drive around for consulting. I'm just carrying a bag full of just gadgets, and then my other bag is for work.
So, Peter, any advice for Luke? He does sound burdened.
It is possible you could consolidate, get something like the iPhone or like the Nexus One, which will do a lot of the things that are spread across different devices. I mean, the Nexus One, the iPhone, lots of other smartphones now do have GPS built in them. Even laptops are coming with GPS now. And so if you're going to have something that's going to be sitting in your car and you want that bigger screen, a laptop actually might help replace that GPS unit.
And good luck, Luke. In fact, somebody just texted into us, into our Facebook page, Yosef wrote, hello, iPhone. I'm listening to your radio stream on my iPhone while texting this on its Facebook app.
Yep. Well, that's the beauty of these devices, right, is that they can multitask. Well, the iPhone is not necessarily as good at multitasking as other devices out there, but the idea is that you can do lots of different things with them. And when smartphones started getting applications on them, and the iPhone wasn't the first phone to get apps, it meant that you could actually basically turn these devices into all sorts of different things. They could be ebook readers, they could be navigation devices, they could be game consoles, they could be news readers, they could be portable internet radio devices. They could do all sorts of things that you know, 10 years ago we couldn't really dream of in a portable device.
Listeners, are you over-deviced? You've heard our callers so far. Do you think you're more over-deviced than them? I nominate Luke as the most troubled-sounding, over-deviced person who we've had so far. Are you over-devised? Let's put it this way. Are you multi-devised and loving it? Or are you the most over-devised person in our listenership right now? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692 for Peter Rojas. You mentioned off the air the emerging categories of device users. Like now that ebook buyers are a big chunk of the population, you have to account for them when putting together a device. So every time a new type of gadget user emerges, is there a rush to integrate it into the next universal device?
Well, and that's one of the things that like I said, there's always this tension, right? In some respects, a device like a Kindle or a Nook is a dedicated device that has an e-ink display, which is, I think, better for reading ebooks. On the other hand, it's another thing to carry around. It's much bigger than your phone. You can't carry it in your pocket. And Amazon offers a Kindle application for the iPhone that lets you read your Kindle books, your ebooks, on your iPhone. And so it's one of those things about having the option. You get the convenience of the iPhone or reading on your smartphone, but you definitely get a better, more book-like experience on a dedicated device.
I was talking to somebody last night who said, you know, I really want to get an iPad, but if it only had a, and I don't remember which function he was talking about, but you know, I think he said if it only had a camera.
Well, there's speculation that they will introduce a version with a camera.
Huh.
That's Apple's game, right? The first version is never the best version.
Let's see. How about Doug and Rye? Doug, you're on WNYC.
Hey, Brian.
Hi.
So I'm what one would call an early adapter. As a matter of fact, I kind of view it as maybe a disease or an obsession. I actually have the domain Early Adapters Anonymous. And the great thing about being an early adapter is if you have children, they stand in line for me to buy the next gadget, so they are the beneficiaries of the old one, which is usually not that old, by the way. So being able to deaccession the old one is a benefit to keep this addiction going. So.
It's absolutely a great rationale. You know, you can have more and more children as you need to pass devices down.
And people can say that's a good thing, like you did, or that it's a bad thing because you're just passing down your addiction to your kids. But good luck out there. Annie in Jersey City, you're in WNYC. Hi, Annie.
Hi. I think a big thing with the cell phone devices and things like that is also all the chargers you need to have, making sure that things are charged. Because it's not even so much just having your iPhone with you or whatever. It's making sure that it's fully charged throughout the entire day.
It's really a great point. And we have a similar one. Eric on our comments page says multiple gadgets, not a huge problem. Multiple batteries and chargers, royal pain.
Yes. And well, one of the reasons why I carry around a portable media device in addition to a smartphone is that I don't want to have to worry about completely killing the battery on my main device, my phone. It's not a big deal if my MP3 player dies in the middle of the day, but if I can't get phone calls or do email, that's a much bigger issue for me. On the other hand, I do have to worry about keeping all of them charged, and when I travel, sometimes I have to carry around 3 or 4 chargers with me depending on the devices I'm bringing.
Yeah, so Annie, you're experiencing that kind of thing too, right?
It's a trade-off. It's all about trade-offs right now.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I just feel like I always have, and like you never quite have the one adapter that goes with the right thing that you plug into the wall or you leave it in the hotel room or something like that.
Annie, thank you. So any advice? I mean, literally probably half the comments on our comments page are about this problem, which we didn't even raise, and people called in with it. So, yes, people are, you know, they're overcharged. Maybe instead of looking for the holy grail of the universal device, somebody should invent the universal charger.
Well, so most cell phones are standardizing around a single standard for chargers. called micro USB. And so a lot of I mean, I have a bunch of different phones from different manufacturers that all use that standard. iPhone doesn't use it, but most companies are using it right now. But that doesn't necessarily help you with your laptop or your GPS or other devices out there. So it's you know, something that I don't think is going to be solved anytime soon. I think when it comes to the fact that these devices are getting more and more powerful and require more and more battery life, especially if you're going to be surfing the web, consuming data, doing email, listening to music online, that's all very, very data intensive, which means it's very power intensive. And it's one of those things where the devices are getting more and more powerful, but we're just hitting the limits of what we can do with the batteries.
One more. Marty in Westchester, how over-deviced are you?
I am not over-deviced. I have too many devices to count, but I don't mind having many tools for the right thing. It's my family that's over-deviced. I've got a 13-year-old with an iPhone and a Nintendo DS. I've got an 11-year-old with a Nintendo DS and an iPhone. And I've got an 8-year-old who wants those things that his brothers have. And then when we lost power over the weekend and we made it to a restaurant finally, there was fighting over whose device would go into the car charger.
So your 13-year-old is going to turn around and say, Dad, you can't say you're not over-deviced because you love having so many devices, but I have too many devices. That's a hypocrite.
Yeah, they learn very young now.
That is a problem. The problem I'm calling about is that I am a hypocrite, that I'm creating this role model where I do nothing but look at screens all day, and I am disturbed about how at the restaurant dinner I cannot get them to relate to us because they are looking at their screens.
It's absolutely an issue, and even though I am probably as addicted to gadgets as anybody else out there, I usually spend the last hour or two of every day reading, just because I find it a good way to kind of clear my head and decompress after a day of consuming a lot of data and looking at screens.
You mean reading those, what do you call them again, those old, the things that have like paper that are kind of stuck together, a lot of
pages? It's an ancient
technology.
I look at real books. I don't actually even own an e-book reader.
We could do a whole other segment. We probably should do a whole other segment one day, either with you or maybe with like a family advice person, replay Marty's call and talk about how you navigate this in the family context. So I'm sure we will do that. But Peter Rojas, founder of GDGT, again, think gadget without the vowels, GDGT.com. We'll be back with us every Thursday at this time in the month of March to talk more about our digital lives. Peter, thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.